Okay, I'm going to talk us through a meditation in a moment, which is often called appreciating our precious human life, where we're going to reflect on the good qualities that we always have, already have, and that's a very important part of this practice. Again, we can often have a tendency to get very down on ourselves and home in on the negative sides of our character. And this, the first part of this meditation is quite an important antidote to that, which again can be very damaging, not only to ourselves, but it also puts us in a worse position to help others. And then we're going to reflect on the preciousness of this human life we have at the moment, and particularly if we look within the overall scheme of things of sentient beings as a whole, to really try and develop a really positive appreciation for this wonderful opportunity we have. This precious human life. This can actually be sometimes a very, very effective antidote to feelings of depression, and particularly when getting very down on ourselves and our current situation. But before we do that, I'm going to do a little bit more meditating on the breath as we did yesterday. As I said yesterday, I'd always encourage us to do a little bit of that before we do any practice. And I'm also going to move just briefly into that meditation we did yesterday on the clarity of the mind, because that's a very, very good starting point for the appreciating our human life meditation. That can really help us appreciate how at its deepest level our mind is actually essentially pure and clear. None of those afflicting mental states, the ones that cause problems and suffering for ourselves or others, are totally integrated with the mind. Because of that, they can be removed. Okay, so let's get ourselves comfortable and pay a little bit of attention to your posture. Particularly important, as I explained yesterday, that we have a nice straight back. And again, you can imagine that your vertebra has a pile of pound coins stacking one on top of the other, starting at the bottom. And again, you can just very, very gently, and again, it has to be very gentle, don't force anything, just slightly stretch your spine as if somebody's just tugging at the top of your head with a little piece of string. And relax back into the posture. And also check that you're not hunching your shoulders. Again, it can be helpful, again, very, very gently, just to push them back slightly. But then again, relax back into the posture. Make sure that you're not tensing anywhere. It's good just to do a little check, see if you are holding on to any tension anywhere. And if you think you are, just breathe in deeply. Imagine you're breathing out into that part of the body, just letting that tension naturally dissipate away. Everything should feel nice and relaxed. So now turn your attention to the natural rhythms of your breathing. Become aware of the subtle sensations as you breathe in, as your diaphragm moves down. Feel the air as it enters your body at the point of the nostrils. Again, it's better to breathe through your nose when you're doing this. Goes down, entering your body, down into your lungs, and then again as your diaphragm pushes back up, expelling the air, and again notice those subtle sensations as it leaves the body at the nostrils. There are different ways of doing this, but again, we're going to focus at that point at the nostrils. Just And become more aware of those subtle sensations as the air enters and leaves your body. Just let yourself breathe naturally, don't force it. Hold your attention at that point, at the nostrils, the air enters and leaves the body. And as soon as discursive thoughts arise, as soon as you notice, don't worry about it, don't think I'm failing, very important, or anything like that, it's perfectly natural. But as soon as you notice, just in a nice gentle way, don't follow those thoughts, those things can wait till later. Just return your attention back to that point of the nostrils. And just remind yourself why you're doing this. It can help initially to reduce stress, worrying, fretting too much about things in the past or things in the future. In the long run, it can help us to develop clarity and concentration, be enormously beneficial for all our activities and practices. So again, just quietly together, concentrate at that point at the nostrils, the air enters and leaves your body. And as soon as you notice you're distracted, just place your attention in a nice gentle way back onto those rhythms of your breathing. And we'll do that quietly for a few minutes. Now we've got to calm down our mind a little, get our attention more fully into the present moment. Let's set a really positive motivation for this practice. If think how we're not just doing this to benefit ourselves, but also to put us in a better position to be able to truly benefit others. In that respect, these practices are win-win. Ourselves in a better position to be able to truly benefit others. This also helps us overcome our own problems, fears and difficulties. So again, just go back to the natural rhythms of your breathing. And we're now going to return our attention to the mind, particularly the mind's clarity. Again, just as things like houses, trees, our bodies, Buddha statues all arise within space, all our thoughts, feelings, mental images, so on, arise within the space of the mind. Mind is like a clear blue sky, vast and expansive, unobstructed. Thoughts, feelings, mental images just come and go like clouds, ultimately lacking any real substance. And just be the clear blue sky. Try not to think. And again, as distractions come in, simply with the breath, as soon as you notice, don't worry about it, just don't follow them or feed them. Just place your attention back at that clear, expansive nature. That clarity that underlies all our conscious experiences, like a deep blue sky. This takes us quite nicely into the practice of appreciating our precious human life. The first thing is, let's reflect on the way that our mind, at its deepest level, is essentially pure and clear. None of those afflicted mental states, that's the things that cause problems and suffering for either ourselves and others. Things like anger, jealousy. Dissatisfaction, despair. None of these things are totally integrated with the mind. All arise due to causes and conditions, and thus they can be reduced gradually, bit by bit. And in turn, as we gradually nurture positive qualities like love, compassion, wisdom, every one of us, and this is a very fundamental assertion in Buddhism, has this clear, pure nature at the deepest level of our mind. This is very much related to what we call Buddha nature. That we all, and there are no exceptions, have this potential for enlightenment. At the deepest level, at the deepest core of our being. And it's also good to think about some of the positive qualities that you already have. Again, we can often be very hard on ourselves, honing on all our shortcomings, our failures, those negative aspects of our personality. But if you really check, I think you've probably identified lots of ways which you're kind, for instance. It can be little things, just things with friends or family. People you come into contact at work. Just really try to bring some of those things to mind, those little acts of kindness. And times when your intelligence or understanding has helped to deal with problems and difficulties, when you're helping other people. Really bring those things to mind and take joy in them. And just as negative things can be reduced, these positive qualities can be enhanced and nurtured, developed further. Really try and feel a sense of that. The next stage is we're going to really try to appreciate what a wonderful opportunity we have having this precious human life. Particularly when we think in the overall scheme of things, sentient beings and living beings as a whole. I mean, imagine what it would be like to be born as an animal, for instance. Lots of animals, including those birds we can see here singing outside. Very much caught up in a struggle for survival. Having to cope with winter and cold. Having to find food. Having to protect themselves and their young from predators and so on. Some domestic animals have it better in some ways, but again, a lot of them are kept in captivity, bred just for their meat, to be killed. Some domestic pets certainly have it better. I think my cat does, for instance. But even the most advantageously situated animal generally doesn't have the same ability we do to really look at themselves and really work on developing themselves and improving themselves in a positive way. I mean, now, even if we have this precious human life, not all humans are necessarily in the best position, particularly to develop themselves spiritually. I mean, imagine what it would be like being born as a destitute beggar, for instance, or in a war zone. where your life is just a constant struggle for survival. Taking care of your family, worrying about really serious, you know, imminent death and so on. You could also think what it would be like to have either a mental or physical impediment that would make spiritual practice, self-improvement, very difficult. If you're in extreme pain all the time, and some people are, of course, make it very, very difficult. And other people are born in very remote places, don't necessarily have access to guidance, spiritual teachings in the way we do, which would make things more difficult. And then there are other people who do have access, but they're actually oppressed or persecuted for practicing. And that's quite common. It's been common throughout history and it's going on in the world today. Then there are other people who are okay physically and mentally, they have access to spiritual teachings, but they don't necessarily want to, they have no inclination whatsoever. They prefer to spend their lives just engaged in temporal pleasures, satisfying the senses. And it's very, very important that we don't sort of feel superior to people like that. It's not nice for them, and you'll end up paying for that yourself at some point. This is really important. But we should feel really blessed, fortunate, that we are aware that there's a bit more to life than that. So really try and feel the sense of appreciation. You have a relatively healthy body and mind. We have access to incredibly precious spiritual teachings and methods of varying traditions, and we have access to so much in the West, and that's something to really appreciate. Have some supportive friends and family members, other people to help us, and that's something to really appreciate. We also have the material means and the leisure time to engage with these kind of very positive activities and work on developing ourselves in a positive way. I mean, we might not have as much time or money as we want, but the fact we're able to sit together and do practices like this just shows that we do have a certain amount of time, and not everybody does. That's something to really appreciate. And even if we don't have quite enough money or as much leisure time as we'd like, which is probably true for most of us sometimes, actually. And we have problems in our lives. But whatever these problems are, we always have the opportunity to work developing our mind. And by mind, I'm not just talking about intellect, that's not just our thoughts, our feelings, the way we spontaneously react to the world around us. We can always work on developing this in a positive way. Really try and get a sense of appreciation that if we look at our situation within the context of living beings as a whole, We really are in a very fortunate position at the moment. Try and get a sense of that. From a Buddhist point of view, this is a consequence of karma, but that's something we can keep working on improving, moving forward into the future. And just to conclude, let's think about the different ways we could use this precious opportunity. Maybe we can do things like travel and all kinds of other pleasurable things that we can do. And it's good to take pleasure in things, it's important, we need to enjoy ourselves sometimes. We need to chill out and relax sometimes, and all those things are really important. But we also could devote time to helping others in all sorts of ways. It might be just helping friends or family, things we do through our work. Do things like voluntary work, which actually can bring a lot of happiness to yourself as well as others. But also, very importantly, from a Buddhist point of view, we can work on developing and transforming ourselves in a positive way. In a better and better position to truly help others, as well as helping overcome our own problems and difficulties. And really try and weigh up the advantages of a life geared around working towards enlightenment, helping others. Versus a life that's just totally engaged with pursuing sensory pleasures, which could certainly bring a lot of very temporary happiness, but don't ultimately lead to lasting satisfaction and peace, fulfillment. So let's make a really strong resolution that we're going to appreciate this opportunity. And it's good to remind of ourselves of this at the start of the day. There's a lovely quote by His Holiness, actually. That's based on this. It's a really positive way to think when you wake up at the start of the day. To help us really have a sense to appreciate how precious this is, that we have this opportunity. Let's resolve to do everything we can to make the most of this precious opportunity today and for the rest of our lives, which will both be for our own benefit and put us in a better position to be able to truly benefit others. Finally, let's dedicate any benefit that's come as a result of this practice. Again, thinking about all the little subtleties of cause and effect may contribute towards the long-term welfare of all living beings.